So this week was one of those weeks where I think I had too many thoughts that I wanted to, points I wanted to try to make, so it got a little jumbled. As I looked over my notes this morning, I realized that might come across a little, I don't know what even the word I'm trying to think of, but it just didn't present itself as smoothly as I had hoped when I originally thought about some of the things I wanted to say. But the gist of it is, you know, when I get done today, hopefully one of the points, primary points I'm trying to make this morning is really talking about the church, what it is, what it means to us, and what it means to each other as a congregation and how we can assist each other and help each other. So we'll look at some scripture then that references this. The main scripture this morning was one that I thought really kind of summed it up, you know, when we talk about why we come to church and one of the reasons we come here. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day draw near. So I think that really kind of summed up, hopefully, what I'm going to say today, the fact that we all can come together and basically help each other. So, you know, I'm a sports fan. I always usually throw something in the mix. Gentleman in front of me, some of you may recognize if you follow college football at all, is Nick Saban. Personally, not a huge fan of him. He went to my team and coached him for a year or so and then decided to take off. But Nick Saban is the head coach of Alabama. He's been there since 2007. His overall record, 232-63-1. If you follow college football, that is just unheard of. That kind of a winning percentage. He's tied with Bear Bryant for the most national championships, 6. Kind of figured out when I was looking at this gentleman why he got the name Coach K. His name's hard to pronounce. Chris, I don't even know if I, because every time I listen to a sports show and they're talking about him, they hardly ever use his full name. It's Coach K. Coach of Duke. Most of you, unless you're completely tuned out of the world, realize that we're in the middle of March Madness. My guess is that 50-50 shot, there's more than at least myself in this room that have filled out a bracket and currently have a bracket going for the tournament. I'm probably not alone. Coach Krasinski is a Duke head coach since 1980. Again, in the coaching world, unheard of. That's a tenure you just do not see this day and age. He's won 5 NCAA championships, 12 Final Fours, 12 ACC titles. Most wins of any coach in college basketball. So why did I start out with these guys? Why did I start talking about them first? You know, when you talk about how to, you know, the crossover between sports and real life and everyday life and even our Christian lives. You know, what makes these teams great? Is it the fact that there's a lot of money in those programs? Is it the fact that, I mean, you know, the raging debate is, I mean, the players aren't paid, so does it really matter? Obviously, with a large amount of cash, you can bring in the top coaches. And then what did top coaches do to get the top players there? Duke currently has what is considered to be 2 of the top 3 recruits coming up in the NBA draft. Would those gentlemen, considering the fact that they are some of the top players in the country right now, by themselves without Coach K, potentially be going in the Final Four and winning another national championship? Point being is, who helps who make the program great? When we come to church, who helps who make the church great? We have our head coach, we have our guidance, we have God. Again, he put it in the scripture to help us. Are we assistant coaches? You know, when we talk about the elder selection, you know, will we look at them as an assistant coach helping to guide us through our daily lives in the church? You know, to sustain the church, it's not just a matter of bringing the people in. The people have to help the program to be what we want it to be, what God intended it to be. One of the scriptures I'm going to be talking about, and first want to kind of make a point. You know, one of the definitions of the church was a body of, or organization of religious believers. I thought that was pretty fitting in the Webster definition. It specifically said that, you know, it spoke to the fact that the congregation, the bodies, the people, are what made the church, by definition. And again, what makes it work? I mean, when we think about churches, some of the ones I looked up at to make a glaring point, some of us might remember back in 1993, David Koresh, the Branch Davidians. 76 people died. It was a 51-day standoff, and that was at a time when media coverage and news coverage was really kind of taking on a new shape and a new form, and people were glued to their TVs, and they had, you know, the news cameras there. Branch Davidians had formed their own church. David Koresh was their leader. Something happened, though. I'm sure there were probably some good people in that building, but something happened to lead them astray. Something didn't work. It ended tragically. Of course, Jim Jones, going back a little further, we all know about Jim Jones. 918 people, 304 of them were children. I spoke to this once before. He was, I believe the church was called the People's Temple. He was their leader. He was ordained. We could call this a church, a very large church. Again, something went wrong. Something happened. Something wasn't being done. Maybe a little bit more controversial when we start to talk about mainstream religion. Sometimes this gets to be a touchy subject. The Mormon Church, fourth largest Christian denomination in the U.S., 16 million members. Some of their faith is based on some of our beliefs. But then it goes and takes a decidedly different turn based on three scriptures that they have chosen to follow besides the Bible, in addition to the Bible. One of those, I believe, the Book of Mormon speaks of Jesus spending time in the United States. I believe if I read it correctly, it also said that the president of the church is a prophet. Many of us here, rightfully so, would probably have a lot of problem with that based on the scripture that we read and interpret the way we do. Again, that's a lot of members in that church. A lot of good people, probably. Not sure what happened there. The quick takeaway would be we're using scripture other than we were intended to use, and we went outside of the Bible. Scientology, 1953, founded by L. Ron Hubbard. Many of us remember that name if you're in my age bracket. Mr. Hubbard became a very rich man when he founded Scientology. Scientology gets a lot of press, a lot of news, because a lot of famous people belong to the Church of Scientology. I had a hard time even figuring out exactly what they believed. It was very not what we believe, not what we follow, not what we subscribe to. Matthew 24:24. Many false Christs and false prophets will arise and deceive many. In many ways, I thought that scripture summed up some of what I just covered in some of the other religions. I don't know if I missed. Did we skip through one? Yeah, okay. So, you know, so we talk about scripture and we talk about the church. So one of the points I wanted to make first, starting out, was when I referenced, you know, your athletic programs. When we look at a church, we have to decide what makes us strong, what can make us stronger, what can make us more relevant. You know, it's not just about showing up on Sunday. It's not just about, you know, one of us standing up here and sharing our thoughts. It's about a lot more than that, and that's why it takes so many different things to make it work and to make it successful, in my opinion, not just a great head coach. He put us on the right track to have a winning program, but he left it up to us to make it work. Many of the scriptures that we've referenced the last few weeks in regards to the elder search have led us to the fact that, yes, I'm telling you what to do, but I expect you to figure out, based on my scripture, how to make it work, how to implement it in your church, to make that church successful, to spread my word, and to hopefully bring other people to Christ. This is a basic scripture, one of the ones that references that we get together, and that's where it all starts. We come here on a Sunday morning. This is kind of like the big meeting before we go out there for the week. This is what gets us refreshed. This is what gets us strengthened in many ways, in my opinion. If I ask myself why I come to church on a Sunday morning, and I did this week, I was going a couple different directions. A, scripture tells me I should. B, I need it. I need to come here to be refreshed, to be recharged, to be strengthened, to hear scripture, to, as Bill pointed out, in my opinion, the most important 5 to 10 minutes of my morning on a Sunday morning is communion, because it helps us to remember that great sacrifice and how that changed our lives as Christians. So those are all reasons I come to church. Sometimes you look at it and you say, it would be easier, and I've done it in the past. You know, your friends come to you and go, hey, getting up around a golf, it's going to be 65 degrees, the weather's perfect. This is golf weather. Let's go out. Yeah, I can't. I'm not going to say I never have. I have. Sometimes it's a struggle. It's easy to find plenty of excuses to make everything work in your mind if you really want to. But I can tell you that when I do make that excuse and I potentially take that invitation and I don't show up here, my week's different. I can tell the difference. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 13, talking about spiritual gifts. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them and all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Again, this really comes back to where we're at right now as a church and some of the things we're looking at. And we talk about this often. We all have gifts. Every one of the brothers and sisters in this building has a gift that they can bring to the church. But the one common thread is God gave us that gift, and he helps us to use that gift. And we all use it for the same purpose. 1 Peter 4, 9 through 11. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one, speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Again, we're talking about the strength that God gave us. He's telling us to use our gifts. He's telling us to work together without grumbling, to look out for each other, so that we might serve God and use the gifts that he gave us. You know, I thought about this in various forms in my life, whether it be my work life, my family life, my church life. One thing I've always noticed is when you have an organization, there's always that awkwardness sometimes, that uncomfortableness. I think a lot of us just like to come to church and have everything just work the way it's supposed to, and I'm not sure who does what, but apparently it's getting taken care of. Somebody's putting the money in the bank. Somebody's maintaining the building. Hey, it's all working. Why we have to change anything? Because we do. I mean, let's face it. We get uncomfortable. It's a touchy subject sometimes. When I think of a church, I don't like to think about an organization. When you think about politics, which in our country today is so diverse and so, how shall I say, in many ways it tears us apart, even though it's supposed to help bring us together. So sometimes when you think about church, especially, it's like, God told us what to do. What else do we need to worry about? But part of what he told us to do is to look out for each other, to help each other, to take care of each other, to use our gifts to help make the church better. So sometimes as much as we'd like to just say, hey, well, I don't want to get involved, I don't want to talk about it, I don't want to be a part of that, whatever you need to do, just do it. See you next Sunday. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. But this scripture, you know, as we go through this process next week, when you think about this scripture talking about, and the scripture previous, talking about what we need to do together as a congregation, working with each other, looking out for each other to help us basically be our best. You know, what can I do once that elder's in place to make him a better elder? What can I do to help him, you know, as a member of the congregation? That's what we need to ask ourselves going forward. Summed it up real quickly. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Encourage one another and build each other up. I've got to talk to Dave and Dave, but one of the things that, you know, crossed my mind as we go through this process was the fact that there has to be buy-in from the congregation no matter who the elders are. Once they're chosen, we need to support them 100%. What can I do for you needs to be what we ask going forward. How can I help you? What can I do to make this church better? Confess your faults to one another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So, many times I've talked about this subject, about our faults, and I know that ultimately some of the men that are approached in this church, that's going to be one of their concerns. I might have faults. We all have faults. And that was one of the reasons I chose this scripture this morning. It talks about sharing those faults. It's one thing when we talk about coming to church on a Sunday, and one of the other reasons, we should never feel like we can't share our shortcomings. I've seen it so many times in this church that I never saw before in a lot of the churches I attended, where people would come forward and say, and I need help. I screwed up. That's what it's all about. That's what this kind of scripture tells us in the Bible when we read scripture like this. Share it, because that brother and that sister are going to pray for you. They're going to help you with your healing, with prayer in most cases, and just being there for you. And again, for as the body is one and has many members, all of the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. We're all in this together. Don't look at it as something that we dread dealing with, possibly in some cases. Look at it as we are following God's word and we are looking forward to doing God's work and taking the next step again to get to where we need to be, to make sure that we maintain the strength of this church, that we all have a place to come on Sunday morning, a place not like those other places I mentioned, a place that truly shares scripture the way it was intended, that truly opens up its arms and its hearts to its members and allows them to share their faults and their shortcomings saw this, a little bit of a inspirational quote as we get ready to close this morning. And again, we all have our shortcomings, we all have our faults. That's why we look to our brothers and sisters for help. I will hold myself to a standard of grace, not perfection. You know, the church is not always perfect. And I don't know who to attribute this quote to, but I think it was anonymous. But the church is not always perfect. Christ is. If we focus on Him, we can overcome any obstacles. So hopefully I ended up making it work this morning. I think my point was, hopefully came across as it was intended. Don't think of it as just another something that you have to deal with. Think of it as a wonderful opportunity that we've been given as Christians. Today is the last day. If you haven't, please submit your names, your nominations, as we will move forward in the next few weeks, discussing taking the next steps in the church. And if you do have any needs, if you do have anything you need help with from your brothers and sisters, feel free to come forward at this time as we stand and sing. If you need to be baptized and receive Christ into your life, that can happen as well. Thank you.